everyone, welcome to episode 79 of the Nintendo Prime podcast. Some days I wonder if I'll even make it to 79 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the average age now in the U.S.? Like 72, 73 before you die?
No, I think it's a little more average than that. Age of death? It's like 78.
So we might make it.
We might.
If we're average. I don't know.
I think.
I think this equals average American man.
No,
over
that's
here.
Average Wisconsin.
Yeah, what's the average in Wisconsin? Probably like 50s. Yeah, anyway, right? How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the podcast. There's just two of us this week. It's yours truly, as always, Nathaniel Ruffeljantz, and then Mr. Eric Moore.
Hello.
And no extras this week. I'm going to just be honest. It's been kind of a lazy week for me. I've been kind of taking it a little easy this week. I haven't put out as many video content over the past week. I haven't put out as many videos. Haven't done as good a job as I should have on some of my other jobs as well. I kind of took it lazy on purpose because it was also the week of my son's birthday. So there was the whole day of my birthday or his birthday that, you know, was all about him. And then there was a couple nights where I was just stressed out and Eric and I just hung out and played Madden and stuff like that. Sometimes you need that respite. I didn't leave entirely. I made sure I got some stuff out, but viewership is way down. New subs are way down. All that great stuff. But it doesn't really matter. Sometimes you just need that break. And I say that because this isn't one of the topics, but a popular thing that has been happening on YouTube, at least a popular topic being talked about, is YouTube burnout, where people, because it's a grind, right? I'm putting out videos every day. Mm-hmm. I strive to put 2 to 3 videos out a day, unless it's a weekend, then it's just one video. But the rest of the week, Monday through Friday, I try to get 2 to 3 videos out. And that's great. Traffic does good on it. We make money. Cool. But it's just not something that always feels sustainable all the time. So I don't want to say I'm burnt out because I'm not. But I feel like taking the pedal off the metal now and then, like I did this past week, is needed. The day after we record this, I will be back with my pedal on the metal because I'm fully motivated and I'm not burnt out. But weeks like this are needed, and potentially like vacations in the future where any videos that come out are just pre-recorded stuff, or somehow I get Eric to do a live stream. I don't know what he's going to stream. Maybe he'll finally play his SNES Classic.
Yeah, right?
And my kids are always playing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're just going to kind of go with the flow this week and get back into our topics. And our first topic is an interesting one. It's one that kind of dominated headlines for the past couple of weeks, but it's really come to the forefront due to a recent Nindy Direct. It really wasn't a direct. It's called Nindy Showcase. And that's essentially that it seems like people are concerned that Nintendo is too focused on indie games. Not just because of the number, back when they announced it'd be, like 20 to 30 indie games coming out a week or whatever, games coming out a week. They didn't say indie games. Mm-hmm. But obviously most of that's been indie games. But it was like 10 days ago we got it was initially released in Europe, like during Gamescom, and then they did a similar video on the Nintendo US YouTube channel, and then now that video is missing for some reason. I don't know why they took it down. It had over 300,000 views. Hmm. But basically it was like an indie showcase without calling it. It was called like an indie something. I think they called it an indie showcase, which felt weird when they called the next one an indie showcase when they're all showing indie games. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then we're not even talking about like, oh, the Nindy showcase is exclusive. Like, no. They're just more indie games.
Yeah, fun.
So they showed a bunch of indie games. Looked great. Fine, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like 2 days later, they say, oh, by the way, next week Tuesday, we're doing a Nindy showcase. Like basically what they used to call like a Nindy Direct. And we're letting you know ahead of time. It's going to be live streamed, all this great stuff. And you're just like, okay, cool. Maybe they separated it out. Like they did these games then because these are already known about. They're indie games. Then this big one's going to have new announcements. It's going to have big games, bigger indie games. Travis Strikes Again might be in there, stuff like that, because that was a big game that was announced in an indie thing before. And instead, it just felt like what we got was almost worse than the games we got literally 10 days prior.
Fantastic.
So they built up hype for one, did not build up hype for the other. The one they didn't build up hype for was better than the one they built up hype for. But altogether combined, in a span of 10 days, we basically got two Nindy showcases, or indie showcases, whatever you want to call it. And it left people kind of scratching their heads a little bit, because... And then we were talking about this back when the Smash Direct was announced and then happened. Yeah, the Smash Direct was great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But when are we going to hear about anything else coming out this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
And to go from the Smash Direct to two indie events, which I'm fine with indie events. I think indie games shouldn't even be treated. We shouldn't even call them indie games anymore. They should just be games. But if you're going to keep separating them out in their own category of indie games, that's fine. Do like little separate events. But to go from like the Smash event to this, yes, I realize there's time. Okay. But think about the things we don't know about yet that I think is what we don't know about that's making people freak out about indie games. One, we get a lot of indie games on the eShop, right? Like tons of them every week. I'd argue many of them are very, very, very good and very underrated, and people just call it shovelware because it's convenient to do so, not because they actually know if it's shovelware or care to find out if the game is good.
Right.
So there's that. So I want to make that clear right now. I don't think the eShop's as full of shovelware as people think it is. Yes, there is shovelware there, but it's not as bad as people make it out to be. That being said, and that's the thing, like the two indie showcases they did, what did we see, like 30, 40 games? Like we saw a lot of games. Granted, that's like a week's worth of games on Switch, but we saw a lot of games. None of them looked like shovelware. You know, Into the Breach launched like the day of the Nindy showcase and looks great, fantastic, tactical game. I didn't play it yet, but I've seen some streams of it. Looks awesome. The thing is that a lot of people feel like we get indie news all the time. I mean, outside of those two things, in between, we got like announced Hat in Time's coming to Switch, which is a game that came out in the past on other systems. And originally, they said they weren't going to support it on Switch, and now obviously they've backtracked, and now they're bringing it to Switch. And like we're getting indie game announcements all the time. Is basically what I'm saying. And I think it's important for certain indie type games to have that promotion from Nintendo, get their trailers up on the Nintendo YouTube channel. Like if you go to the Nintendo YouTube channel, you'd be hard-pressed to find any videos other than indie trailers, especially lately. And that's fine. That's all fine and dandy. But when are we going to learn about the Nintendo Switch Online service we're buying in less than 4 weeks? Or some of you have already pre-bought. Yes, we still have 2-3 weeks to hear about it. Yes, we're probably going to get a Fall Direct. But the closer and closer we get to when this is supposedly launching, the harder and harder it comes to believe that we're going to get one. So there's that where we just don't know enough about what we're paying for or going to soon be paying for. Then there is the fact that we still don't know the entire fall lineup. Nintendo said there's more games coming to the fall lineup. We sure as heck hope they weren't just talking indie games. Because indie games are games. So I guess that could just be what they meant. Here's more indie games.
I guess are we still in summer, technically? What are technically, we last month of summer?
I don't know. How far does summer go into the school year?
I don't know. No, I'm talking about for game sales. What is considered summer? What
probably
is considered
end of August. It's probably end of summer. Yeah. September is like the beginning of fall.
Again, we don't know fall lineup, and we're almost into fall.
Yeah. Now, granted, that doesn't mean there can't be a fall direct, which means a direct that happens in fall to talk about the rest of the games for fall and winter. That's right. Fine. And I'm sure there's going to be. Like, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm like 99.9% sure we're going to have another general Nintendo Direct sometime this year. I don't know when. Maybe they'll drop it in November. Maybe December. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it'll be next month. But we're going to get one that's going to have showcase Smash. It's going to showcase Pokemon. It's going to showcase Starlink Battle for Atlas. It's going to showcase NBA 2K19. It's going to showcase all the big games coming. Probably Stratus Strikes again if that happens to be hitting this year. It's going to showcase the Nintendo Online System and how that works. And like, there's going to be one at some point. But I part of me says, and this is something I talked about after the Indie Direct, is that, you know, indie games are games, so we should just be excited. We're getting more games, and I'm happy about that. But I also feel that there needs to be that balance, right? Like, you have these smaller, ambitious, some of these games, I would argue, even better than some AAA games, but it's still nice to have those AAA games and those Nintendo games in addition to.
Right.
And right now it feels like, okay, so we told you about Smash. Because we kept telling you about Smash, because we wanted to keep telling you about Smash. And there's been even more Smash news since then. They announced a new Smash Pro controller, a new Smash bundle, all this stuff. That's great. So more Smash news. We've heard little trickles about Pokemon here and there. You know, they put up some new screenshots and stuff like that. But we haven't heard like any major news on Pokemon. We haven't heard any major news. Yeah. I mean, Starlink Battle for Atlas, we got a little bit of something out of Gamescom, some more footage.
Basically, what it feels like is Smash is the only game that's coming out.
The only game Nintendo is advertising.
Outside of indie games.
I mean, technically we did get the Diablo 3 announcement in there.
But mostly everything's been Smash.
Indie. So Smash and indie games. And so they did indie games twice over the span of 2 weeks. And it's like, okay. So when are we going to hear about the things everyone wants? I think a lot of the frustration is from when are we going to... Like, if they did the one indie thing, then did the general direct. I talked about this with the Smash thing, too. Mm-hmm. If they did the one indie thing, like they did, off of Gamescom, mm-hmm. fine. And then they did a general direct, and then did the Nindie showcase after mm-hmm. that, that's a better spread of information. Mm-hmm. I think what happens, and this is where the frustration is really stemming from, is I think Nintendo has plenty of games in the works. I think there's plenty of AAA games not even announced yet for mm-hmm. Switch. I think there's a lot coming. But Nintendo's doing a poor job in the moment of satisfying the current base of Switch owners that might not be interested in indie games. Mm-hmm. Basically, after E3, it feels like you're either buying Smash or indie games, and that's all we're going to tell you about.
Right.
And it's like, but we know about other games coming. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we hearing about them? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool. Like, they showed off this new stuff for, like, NBA 2K19. I get that's on 2K to advertise. But, mm-hmm. like, we still haven't seen this running on Switch.
Yeah.
Like, it would be sweet nice. To see some Switch footage and actually see if NBA 2K19 is better on Switch, or is it worse performance than last year? Like, what are we looking at? Obviously, 30 FPS, but besides that, what are we looking at? Is this My Career Mode going to be bugged to hell and running at 2 FPS again like it was last year on Switch until they patched it?
Mm-hmm.
So, or, there's, like, all these questions.
Or massive pay to win again.
Yeah, I mean, we did see some more of FIFA on Switch at Gamescom.
Nice.
That was nice. Looks good. I mean, it looks like last year's FIFA with a couple new things.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's fine. I mean, that's what FIFA usually.
It's a sports title.
Well, it's still not the full FIFA experience, of course, because it's not using the current engine. It's not technically the same version. It's an older version. Well, blah blah blah. We can get into that. We've talked about that before because mm-hmm. It's the same thing they did last year. But I'm trying to pinpoint the frustrations because I'm not as frustrated as some people, but I kind of get it. I get the frustrations. I get the, why are we not hearing about this other stuff? Meanwhile, you're shoving all these other games on our throat that we're already getting these games every single week. Why can't we talk about games we're, like, want to be hyped for?
It almost feels like Nintendo's hiding something.
But what? What could they be hiding that's going to make up for...
It's like, it almost kind of feels like they're scrambling in the background going, none of our games are on time. You know, what do we do? What do we do? Smash! Here's more Smash! Here's more Smash! Just Smash!
Distract them with Smash.
Yeah.
Smash and Pokemon are on time, so we'll use those. We'll trickle out the screenshots. We'll throw out. Now you can get this new bundle for Smash. Like, we'll hit you.
Yeah.
But they always beat us in the head with Smash every time. So
right.
I don't know if that's the case. Or I mean, we do know Nintendo, like, if we're being completely honest right now, 100% honest, from Nintendo's own first-party studios, we're hardly getting anything this year.
I was going to say. What else besides
Mario Tennis Smash? Aces wasn't made by a Nintendo first-party studio. That was made by Camelot, a third-party mm-hmm. studio. Mm-hmm. Mario Party, we presume, is being made by a first-party studio. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe one we can count. We know Labo was made by a first-party studio. Mm-hmm. We know that Kirby Star Allies was made by a first-party studio. So it's three games. None of them, you would argue, are really super. I mean, Labo probably had a decent investment in it, but none of them are super huge games mm-hmm. that should have taken, like, a big team. And then Pokemon's made by Game Freak, mm-hmm. not by a Nintendo first party. Right. what was the other? Smash, right? Yeah. Smash isn't being made by Nintendo either. It's being made by Bandai Namco with the assistance of Sakurai's team.
Mm-hmm.
Which neither one of those companies are Nintendo first-party companies. So
fantastic.
I look at it as, like, yeah, maybe you have more coming, but your first-party studios, are they tapped?
Yeah, right.
Like, you gave us Splatoon, Mario, Zelda, ARMS, all in 1 year, but you're telling me you can only make four first-party games at once?
Either that, or the only thing I can think of is that they are trying their hardest to hide a new IP.
Well, but they already have one out there in the Daemon X Machina game. And they advertise that at Gamescom. People aren't talking about that enough, to be fair. And I will apologize to you guys out there if you're really highly interested in Daemon X Machina. I have not been covering it as well as I probably should have because I'm not interested in it. But it looks good. If you like mech games, it looks mm-hmm. like a good, high-quality mech game. I'm just mm-hmm. not into mech games.
Mm-hmm.
But admittedly, I probably should do a little more coverage on it for those interested. So, to be fair, I guess that's been advertised. That's a new Nintendo IP. It comes next year. We know Bayonetta 3 is coming. But again, not Nintendo first party. Yeah. Fire Emblem, Three Houses, Nintendo first party. Okay, cool. We know we're supposed to get that early 2019. We assume Yoshi is Nintendo as well.
Mm-hmm.
But correct me if I'm wrong, besides the Fire Emblem game, are any of the games I'm talking about, like, considered their big IP? What is the Animal Crossing team doing? Are they all just sitting there working on Pocket Camp and nothing else?
Yeah, right. Well, and I know.
What about the Pikmin? Like, I know Pikmin doesn't have a specific team, but Pikmin 4 has been done, according to Miyamoto. What the hell is going on with that? What's going on with Retro Studios?
Nice, right? And what is Mario Kart for the phone just taking a huge chunk of your time, too, or what?
And, like, fine. Mario Kart Tour, fine. I mean, you're continuing to update Mario Kart 8 a little bit, 8 Deluxe, and obviously we know the Mario Kart team did make ARMS.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, fine. Maybe they're a little tapped while they get Mario Kart Tour done, and that's fine. I don't think anyone expects a new Mario Kart game anytime soon, at least not this year.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is, like, are all these teams just taking up with...
Nintendo, I think you need to hire some more employees.
Yeah.
I think what happened...
I'm available.
I think what's happened, and Nintendo's not going to admit this, but if you even remember way back when the 360 and PlayStation 3 came out, it was a big shocker to AAA third-party companies because suddenly, oh, man, we need more people to get games out on time because mm-hmm. everything's in HD.
Mm-hmm.
We need HD texture people. We need more artists. We need more programmers. We mm-hmm. need more this. We need more that. We need more testers.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to a lot of studios closing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of leveled out now, but back then it led to a ton of studios closing from overspending or underspending or releasing buggy games that just no one ever bought. And Nintendo didn't go through that because they had the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the Wii U era, and Nintendo kind of sort of went through that with the Wii U era. The late Satoru Iwata kind of talked about a situation going on development-wise that sounded very similar to what other companies had already gone through. And basically, it means Nintendo paid no attention to anyone else, which, of course, they don't, because Nintendo just isn't Nintendo.
They have their heads
in the sand. So instead of learning from other people's mistakes, we'll just make the same mistakes they did.
All right, yeah.
Okay, boom. I mean, that's not why Wii U failed, but obviously game droughts was a big deal on Wii U. And, you know, you get to today. Right, where now the Switch is seemingly got the attention of everything, right? Like, it's a hybrid. They're, mm-hmm. they're, you know, they even brought Sushi Striker to it, so clearly they're looking at bringing mobile games and stuff to it as well, kind of making it where we're going to bring our 3DS kind of games and our Wii U kind of mm-hmm. games all into one platform. Great. Yeah. Sounds fantastic. So where are all those teams that were making those 3DS games, and what the hell are they doing? I'm sorry, Luigi's Mansion, like a port? Using the Dark Moon assets that's probably being done by a Western studio is not what's eating up every single studio's time that was making all these 3DS games.
Right.
I think what happened is history repeated itself. Nintendo didn't learn again. They brought all the teams together under one building, never expanded the teams, mm-hmm. and now you have all these teams that were making 3DS games now trying to make these big, epic HD versions of these kind of games, and they're like,
yeah.
crap, we don't have the team to get this done in a timely manner.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take us 6 years. Like, yeah. oh man, it took 5-6 years for Breath of the Wild. That could be understandable when you look at that game.
Yeah, right.
But it's not understandable when you look at a game like, you know, Elite Beat Agents or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like that should take, you know, 5-6 years, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
It's just...
I don't know.
It's frustrating, I think. It is. I think that's what people are frustrated about. It's not the amount of indie games being talked about. It's the lack of anything else really right. being talked about.
No, the fact that... I mean, you said, should we be concerned that Nintendo seems very focused on indie games? In indie game realm? Absolutely not.
Well, if you bought a Switch for indie games, you got to be in heaven.
Yeah, right.
Switch exactly. is literally the ultimate indie game platform.
Right.
In fact, here's a fun stat that came out recently. in North America alone, by probably even maybe by now, but by the end of this month or sometime in September, there will be more overall games released on Nintendo Switch than the entire lifetime of Nintendo Wii. And why is that? Indie games.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of indie. If you bought Switch to play indie games, and for those out there who think, who would buy a platform to play indie games? Well, pretty much anyone who owned a Vita.
Yeah.
Like, Vita, before Switch came out, Vita was actually considered the ultimate indie machine.
Mm-hmm.
And now Switch is here, and it's popular, and indie games are blowing up on it. So, obviously, there's people who buy Switch and just play lots of indie games, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again.
No.
But if you bought Switch for your Zeldas,
right.
for your ARMS, for your Marios, you've probably been sitting here all year twiddling your thumbs like, what's next? I guess, oh, Mario Tennis, that was cool. That was a little lackluster. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a Nintendo first-party studio that made that. What are you? You're waiting for that big game. It's like, okay, yeah, Smash, big deal. Pokemon, mm-hmm. big deal. But that's it?
Yeah.
You had how many last year? And you have two this year. Neither are made by first-party studios?
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and that's kind of where I was going with this, where it depends on what aspect you're looking at it. If you're looking at it from the indies point of view, this is fantastic.
Yeah, they basically own the Switch market right
now.
If
you're looking at it from a first party, this is horrible. I mean, this is your worst nightmare.
Like, let me put it this way.
Nothing else is coming out.
I mean, obviously, I don't want to discount Octopath Traveler, of course, but the Switch does not have the Wii U drought problem in so much that the Wii U literally went 9 months without a new game, new exclusive game. Like, that's inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen because just in the first, first 6 months or first seven counting July, we did get Kirby, we did get Labo, we did get Mario Tennis Aces, and we did get Octopath Traveler. So we got four games, and that's not counting all the Wii U ports. So we got four games and then some Wii U ports. Great. We got, I really hope they're not just all, are they just handling all the ports? Is Nintendo too focused on ports? Normally, ports don't prevent new games from coming out, but are the ports why we're not getting new games?
It
all their teams are working on porting more Wii U games?
But are the ports being upscaled? Or are they just being ported?
Well, some of them, like the Wii U ports, a lot of them already run in 1080p.
Okay. So they don't have to be upscaled anything?
No, I mean, they had to change some stuff in Captain Toad because it didn't, you don't have the two-screen action. So they had to change that, but I mean, that still couldn't have took forever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
yeah, I know they got to rework some things, but it's not a brand new game. You're not starting from the ground
up. No, I know.
And it's a puzzle game, and it's not even that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I
mean, they threw it together on Wii U in less than a year. So I can't imagine they spent more than a year working on it on Switch.
Right. You'd figure.
I know they also brought it the 3DS.
But then again,
had the two-screen screen, but that has the two-screen action, so that you just had to downscale it. But,
Yeah, but then again, you never know what, because it is a different platform, probably different.
Well, sure,
different code. You never know.
I'm not trying to discount how difficult it might be to port, but it's still one of those, if that's the reason.
Right. Yeah.
Stop porting Wii U games.
Yeah, right.
Like, I want more ports. I love ports, but it's like, let's say we're getting a Skyward Sword HD and then we're getting a Twilight Princess HD and Wind Waker HD bundle. That's what the Zelda team's working on. I'm going to be like, what do you mean that's what the Zelda team is working on? Why are they not working on a new Zelda game?
Yeah, there's that.
Hire a third-party studio like Panic Button to do that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that? And no, again, I don't know.
Because
to be fair, I have not checked all the credits. There might be a company doing the ports.
Because nobody else touches Zelda?
No, that's not true, because they hired a company in Australia to do the Twilight Princess HD.
Okay.
So they've gone outside the company for ports and stuff like that. So it's not unheard of. Nintendo's done it. Grezzo is a perfect example.
I was throwing that out there.
Grezzo did Ocarina of Time 3D and Majora's Mask 3D.
Sounds good.
And they ended up being the lead developer on Triforce Heroes.
Nice.
Again, main Zelda team that wasn't involved. So, and obviously, we just got a Zelda game last year, so main Zelda team's doing something. We're not going to hear probably for another year or two.
Right.
Or at least hints that there are new games in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a new game's in the works. We don't know what it is, but there's a new game coming. I don't know. I feel for people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, but we're still getting new games. I mean, maybe we need to talk more about Mega Man 11. Maybe we need to talk more about Starlink. Maybe we need to talk more about, I don't even know. That's all I can think of
right. I mean, you got a couple of games announced. You just talk about them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard of a concept, is it?
And they're going to. As I said, there's going to be a fall.
I realize that, but
it's just
people are
impatient.
I think it's, they've beat this dead horse of
indie games.
Of either indie games and Smash, like, to the point of people are kind of getting sick of this news.
I don't know if
anyone's
sick of Smash. I think it's like, keep giving us the Smash news, just don't keep making it just Smash news. Like, let's hear something.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a game that's not coming this year, right? Give us something more on Fire Emblem Three Houses. Hype us up for the future of the platform. Tease us with a Metroid Prime 4 CGI trailer. Like, just something that at least makes, like, look, yeah, we know maybe like this year isn't the greatest, but do you know what 2019 might be? You know what pull a PlayStation 4, a Sony, show games that aren't coming out for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. That's what makes people okay in moments like this.
You're right.
This was, we're getting a bunch of indie games now, too. Do you know what we're getting?
You're right.
Like, within the next 12 to 24 months? Like,
you're right.
Okay. Of course, they're focusing on this now because you can see what's. And they're like, well, we already know about something. We know, but we haven't really seen them.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Metro
we
Prime
know
4.
Names.
Metro Prime 4.
We know
probably
names of games.
Metro Prime 4 might not even come out for 4 or 5 years at this point. We have no idea.
Yeah.
We have no reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah.
you know, other than hope, blind hope that it is going to come sooner. I don't know.
Right.
And this is in addition to the fact that we still don't know details about the Switch Online service. The key details I think we need to know. Yeah, we know the bare basics, which might be enough for you to buy. Basically, you want to play Splatoon 2 online, got to buy it. So there you go. That might be all you need to know. The NES stuff might be all you care about. You know, you get the NES games. You get 10 of them at launch, and there's going to be 20 for sure, and then they're going to add more games and blah, blah, blah. Okay, is it going to be more than NES games in the future? We don't know. How does the player swap feature work in the single player games? How do the leaderboards? What kind of multiplayer things are we doing in some of these multiplayer games that have the leaderboards? What is the new content? How does this work? How does the voice chat stuff? You announced that, oh, there's going to be voice chat for all 10 of those NES games through the Nintendo Switch Online. How does that work? Because how it works in Splatoon 2 is a bunch of crap.
How are you going to protect your leaderboards from getting hacked? Because
Mario Odyssey.
I mean, everything I see out there.
Mario Odyssey's bad.
Most leaderboards you see out there tend to be hacked. And just
all of them, but the Mario Odyssey leaderboards, any of the, look at those scores, because that score's impossible. They glitched it.
Yeah.
They glitched it to get the score. Yeah. They glitched it where they can literally just walk away and Mario just auto-jumps the jump rope.
Nice.
It's glitched.
Yeah.
And they can do it infinitely until the game can't count any higher. Anyways, it's
overflow.
I think they actually erased some of those scores.
Yeah.
Because obviously, a human being would be impossible to do that. Only a computer could pull it off. Mm-hmm. And that's assuming that a computer could pull it off. Because technically, there's a limited amount of response time between hitting that button and when it can register on the system. And it can only go so fast before it can't register. Like the software can't register it anymore. Mm-hmm. The hardware can't register it. So even then, there's still an upper limit to what it could be, even at the best of the best, never making a mistake.
Right.
Humans make mistakes.
Right.
So even if a computer did it still wouldn't get to that without a glitch.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's just, I don't know, crazy stuff like that.
Another
thing I think I saw people have an issue with, and I saw this a lot during the live stream, right? Because I live streamed the indie showcase.
Yeah.
A lot of people complaining that all of these like indie games are 8-bit and 16-bit games.
Mm-hmm.
Does that bother you? Because admittedly, probably 70-80% of the market of indie titles is 8-bit or 16-bit.
Me? No, I love 8-bit and 16-bit. That me personally, that's some of my favorite.
Sure, but now imagine
styles of gaming.
But now imagine that for the last 20 years of gaming, that's all gaming was. It never advanced past that. Because I think that's what people are getting with indie games is that's the way indie games have been for a decade. When are we going past it?
Why do we need to go past it?
Because it shows advancement in the indie realm. It shows you're not just, it's not, it's showing that you're not settling on, I made a game in my parents' basement, and hey, I made enough money to keep making games in my parents' basement.
Well, some of these, that might be just exactly what it is.
And I'm not dissing indie games. I love the 8-bit and 16-bit style, and I think it's kind of a cop-out to say that it's lazy or whatever, but.
Do you think?
Variety.
Right, I get it. But not, again.
And again on Switch, because there's a lack of variety of the big titles, you're seeing lots of 8-bit and 16-bit. It feels like you're playing a SNES on the go.
Then again, some of these developers may not have the funds to do a lot of this bigger.
Well, and I think
HD. But they might not have the PCs to handle the HD, big old everything.
That's a very fair argument. The only counter to that is exactly how it worked in the yesteryears. Fine. You don't have that now. Do what you gotta do. Alright, Celeste now blew up. Hollow Knight now blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you advance and move forward like other studios did back when they went to SNES to N64? Mm-hmm. You had all this success on the Super Nintendo and Genesis. Now things went to 3D visuals. Everyone advanced with the times.
Mm-hmm.
So now as an indie developer, fine. You're lucky enough to have an indie game that sold a million copies at like $10 a pop and you made massive profits on that.
Mm-hmm.
Use those profits to reinvest back into the company, hire more people, and make a bigger game.
It's also
it's risky, of course.
Also, I think it's a lot less time because you don't have to have the 3D renderings. You don't have to have the...
Well, let me put it this way. I want to see more studios attempt to make ukulele style games.
And I get it. I mean, I do. I mean, don't get me wrong. 3D games are good too. But I mean, I love me some 8-bit and 16-bit.
I know. Well, that's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
I think people's issue is that it feels like every game is that.
No, and I get it.
Like, oh, this game looks good, but like it looks like every game I've played on the platform or on all these platforms for decades. Like, when can I get something that looks different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's weird because like Octopath Traveler, one of the biggest success stories so far this year on Switch, 16-bit style, intermixed with modern stuff, but still the base visual style is relying on SNES graphics.
Also, though, do you think that, I mean, a good chunk of gamers grew up with that? Do you think that's the reason why? And, I mean, I'm guessing a lot of this, like, why don't you grow, you know, why don't you improve? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? It's probably coming from the younger crowd. Is my gut feeling.
Probably. I would say I can't, you know, I'm not going to name out anyone specific, but during my live stream, I do know for a fact that some of the people that said it were under 18. But there were also some people that were closer to my age that were like, love that stuff, but that's all we get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is our Hellblade kind of game? Like, where's our Outliers?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Switch, go to the eShop. Spend 10 minutes on there and tell me, where's the outlier indie game that's not 18-bit or 16-bit?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard to find one.
Yeah, you know, and
unless you already know about, like, a ukulele. And again, that's last year now. So.
Right, and the thing is also, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, you know, being somewhat of a developer, you know, kind of how it's going to be easier, faster,
to start out.
Cheaper
to start out. I've got no problem with startups that start that way.
And
you work about the creative idea and doing mm-hmm. the best you can to build something around mm-hmm. that idea. That's fine. You want to build, you want to make a Candy Crush style game, but do something unique with it because that's what you know and mm-hmm. that's how you want to start. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, if it's successful, if you get a market for it and you make money, enough money, that more money than you probably ever thought you would make.
Mm-hmm.
Say you're lucky and you're the next Flappy Bird, for crying out loud.
Right.
Okay. The guy took the game down and he's still making money off it today.
Mm-hmm.
So you're that guy, right? You ended up somehow made your first million off a random indie game you threw together in college.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's the dream.
Yeah, right.
But what's next? Oh, yeah. I'm just going to make, you know, new Candy Crush version 2.0. Like,
yeah.
Don't chase the money. Make something better.
Mm.
It feels like what a lot of indie games do, or a lot of indie studios, they just chase the money. Like Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight's fantastic. I want more Shovel Knight. I want Shovel Knight after Shovel Knight after Shovel Knight. But it also feels like the studios just keep supporting out more Shovel Knight instead of being like, where's our big new expansive? Like, it doesn't need... We're not looking for a Breath of the Wild here. We're looking just something that's next. What's that next step? Well, let's see the evolution. When is the evolution hitting the AAA industry ages ago?
Yeah.
Hitting the B-tier industry ages ago.
Yeah.
So when's it going to hit in the indie industry where they're not... Not everyone can start out, obviously, like Playtonic did with Ukulele, right? Former Rare devs.
Right, and they also...
They have a lot of experience.
I was going to say, they know what they're doing. They know what... Yeah.
It's just like when everyone says, where's more Hellblades? I get it. But the reason you don't see more Hellblades is because the Hellblade game was made by a small team that was a grouping of AAA developers.
Mm-hmm.
A very specific grouping of AAA developers that ended up being able to work very, very well together, work under a budget, knew the engine they were using inside and out from their work in the AAA industry, and they actually took a pretty damn big risk. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was on a budget. Yes, the whole point of them making it was to prove that AAA games didn't need to have $100 million budgets.
Mm-hmm.
That was they went out to prove something, and they did it.
Right.
And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But not every grouping of AAA developers is going to work out like that. For every grouping like that, you have something like Big Red Button, which was formed by former Naughty Dog developers and developers from other, you know, EA and stuff like that, came together to form Big Red Button. And you're like, man, look at the talent there. Look at the games these people all worked on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they might not have been the true talent. They might have just been the grunts. We don't know. And then they made, I don't even want to say it, a certain Sonic game that has Boom in its title that ended up being complete and utter trash, but everyone was hyped for it because Naughty Dog devs in it.
Yep.
Devs that made some good games at EA are on it. And it's like, but they might not be doing it for the right reasons. They might not be the right grouping of people, and they might not have the right director. And it just
They might not be the talent that did the parts that made the game good.
And here's another good point.
They aren't necessarily put into their strengths sometimes, maybe not.
Well, here's another example. If you want to prove that it's not just always about what you've done in your past. The creator of Mega Man broke off from the company because they weren't making any more Mega Man games at the time. Broke off from the company and started up a Kickstarter to fund Mighty No. 9. And you're like, this is the guy who made Mega Man. This is the Shigeru Miyamoto, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever he's going to do, it's going to be awesome. And Shigeru Miyamoto himself isn't a programmer.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's the creative mind and, you know, you figure, oh, this guy's a creative mind, he's got quality control on the mind, blah, 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 blah. Ran this Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9. Mighty No. 9 gets delayed, raises more money, gets delayed more, blah, 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 promised for all these platforms, only releases on a few. Still waiting, like, people who backed it for the 3DS version are still waiting for it. No announcements on it. They're basically not responding to anyone.
Fantastic.
And the game came out and it was crap. just utter trash. It was not even remotely close to what was promised.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an example of, yeah, the guy has all the experience in the world, doesn't mean that he's the true talent that brought the ideas to life.
Right.
And apparently he just doesn't have the ability on his own to see that those ideas aren't coming to fruition, or that the people he has are not doing the job, but I've already invested in them, so better keep going, instead of being like, no. Like, this is what's so cool about Kojima.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we don't know if Death Stranding looks great. No one's actually played the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for all we know, it plays like crap. And Kojima's in a similar situation as well. The difference is Kojima seems to be given a lot more freedom because, one, he invested his own money into his own company.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't kickstart it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Sony investing in the Death Stranding. So it's one of those, if he doesn't have the right team, he can boot him off and just get different people in.
Right.
Because he's got a different source of funding. When you're crowdfunded, it's like, you already spent the money.
We don't have it anymore. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's why we got to raise more.
Right.
And then, because I already invested in these guys, I have so much money invested in them, I might as well keep investing. Like,
yeah, right.
But if they were a bad investment, get different people in. Like, it's
right.
Know.
No.
And I don't know the specifics. Obviously, no one does except for the people that worked on the game. And most of them, they're not going to talk because they don't want to trash talk each other. But it's a situation where I think that we don't see more Hellblades and we don't see more games like that because the people that come together to do that. Like, let's just focus on Hellblade. The people that came together to do that, very specific example that wanted to prove a game mm-hmm. like that could be done on a very low budget. Because everyone says a game like that can't be done on a low mm-hmm. budget. You need to hire the best of the best voice actors. One of the voice actors, like the primary voice actor for the main character, was one of the developers.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think it was someone professional because the Hellblade, I don't know if you've ever even seen videos on it. It deals with psychosis and this hellish world. And actually deals with actual issues in the brain, and it's a very serious game. You know, high energy combat, all this great stuff, very dark. And you would think it was a professional voice actor with how well
mm-hmm.
that person. No, just someone who makes games.
Nice.
Happened to be a female on the dev team. They didn't hire anyone for it. So hey, you're already making the game.
Nice.
Why don't you give it a try? Oh man, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, all the sound effects in the game. Oh, yeah, we bought some spoons at Walmart.
Nice.
Like, you don't have to go buy all this expensive crap to make sound effects. And anyone who's been in the sound effect industry for a long time knows, let me look through your kitchen. I'll find what I need.
Yeah.
You know, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, even at a studio, it's like, oh, we got budgets and stuff. Let's just buy everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they came together to prove that that didn't need to happen. And now that studio is bought by Microsoft. I believe Microsoft bought them. That was one of the five studios. And that's fine. And that's good for Microsoft because it means they shouldn't have to spend a lot of money for that studio to make awesome games, which is great. They got hella talent there.
Right.
Assuming that people didn't leave after the buyout.
Mm-hmm.
But like what happened with Rare.
Hey.
Oh, that's a soft spot. I just hurt myself on that comment.
Hey.
But it doesn't happen because the people who came together to make that came from the AAA industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to tell the really talented people in the AAA industry, hey, why don't you collectively get up, leave your guaranteed paychecks, leave your life insurance policies, leave your health insurance policies,
mm-hmm.
leave your retirement plans behind. Let's all come together and whatever little savings we have, let's throw it together and make a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if it bombs, guess what? Your job isn't there to go back to.
And honestly, with you saying that, that actually also gave me another idea as to why we don't see some of these things too. Is, I mean, in rare occasions, you know, you get the whole, you know, big mass amounts of money coming in, where some of these other games, they get enough money to sustain. And so you don't want to necessarily, there's not the money there to take that risk.
Well, what about advancing your own skill set?
I'm not saying that you can't advance your own skill set.
I mean, I'm not saying that you won't be stuck in the 8-bit, 16-bit stuff for a while.
Right. But,
you know, it doesn't have to be the same thing you're making all the time.
Right. But what I'm saying is that you may not have the money to take that risk. You know that you can make a quality 8-bit, 16-bit game and get that out there.
And maybe sell because you had a prior one that sold, so you have fans that have bought your stuff.
But to take that next step might completely kill your livelihood.
But that's the same risk you took in the first place.
It is.
So if you're willing to take that risk in the first place, why are you no longer willing to take it again? To make an even better, bigger, more expansive game. I mean, you made the risk once, and it worked.
And now you can argue
it's even less of a risk because now you have a following.
Mm-hmm.
You have people, fans following you on Twitter. You have Nintendo who advertised your game the one time. So talk to them again and be like, look at this prototype I made. Like, I made one level, but look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you blow Nintendo's mind, they'll be like, yeah. yeah, we're going to put that in our indie showcase. Mm-hmm. We're going to put your trailer up. Like, it, and I know it's not that simple. There's a lot of hoops to jump through to get mm-hmm. Nintendo to do anything to help you out. Because, like, for all the indie games we see, there's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens we don't see that Nintendo doesn't advertise.
But, I mean, I can understand the idea of, well, you know, I have something, my life is good the way it is. I know I can do this, where, you know, I
complacent?
Can
see
complacency in some aspects.
Just comfort. Like, but, I'm okay where I am.
Right.
I'm going to keep doing what I do. I enjoy it. I don't really, like, I think one thing we have to remember when we talk about this, not everyone's driven to necessarily be better than they already are.
Mm.
Like, a lot of us, you know, I'm sure we tell ourselves, you know, today, I would love to be a better person today than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be better at my job today. Like, I'd like to think this podcast is better today than it was last week. Better today than it was 3 months back. I'd like to think that. You guys will be the judge on whether or not that's the case. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, I could be like, look how awesome, look how we have this new equipment and this new setup and green screen. Like, look how amazing we are. But it's like, but are we really better?
Right.
You guys are the only ones that can tell us. And I think, but that still comes from the mindset of, at least in my mind, I'm trying to tell myself I'm striving to get better.
Right.
But not everyone has that mindset.
Yeah.
A lot of people might think, I just want to be successful at what I love. Mm-hmm. I am successful.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing to be successful because I don't care.
To take this next step.
I don't care if I become the next EA or whatever.
This next step might completely and utterly financially ruin me if I screw up on it.
Well, yeah, there's that. There's always the is it worth the risk now that I am successful? But a lot of it, I think, is probably just I'm good.
Yeah. No,
I'm good, man.
I don't really...
Why push myself further than
I know what I'm doing.
I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I'm doing.
Isn't that what everyone's trying to be is happy?
Exactly, yeah.
So if you're finally happy, it might not make you happier to keep pushing yourself. You might be like, maybe you found a place where you're like, this is who I am.
And maybe,
and I'm good with this.
And honestly, maybe most developers enjoy the 8-bit to 16-bit.
That's one thing we don't talk about enough, too. We're always talking about from the consumer standpoint of, oh, we get a lot of these, I get the complaints, but it's like, but do you consider the people making it like making them?
Yeah.
They grew up 8-bit and 16-bit, and that's what they want to do. And their dream was to make those kind of games, and now they get to make them for the rest of their life.
Exactly.
They're successful.
Maybe that's their dream job, is to create 8-bit
and 16-bit
games.
Oh, Shovel Knight, just making more Shovel Knight, but they really freaking love making Shovel Knight, potentially. Yeah. It might not be money. It might just be, we really like making Shovel Knight. Why would we do anything else? It's like telling the Zelda team, you really like making Zelda games. So why make anything else?
So go make Mario.
But I don't want to. I want to make Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. You're under contract. You do what I tell you.
Right.
That's kind of what happens at a company.
There does, but that does happen. But what I'm saying is that it's very well possible that that's what they love to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors I think they're taking here with the advancement of indie games and obviously the whole general idea of getting more than indie games on the platform. There's a lot of facets here that I think we touched on a lot of different points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any direct answers. I do think what might be interesting, and I'm actually going to reach out on Twitter, I think. I'm going to see if I can get some indie developers to maybe come on a podcast sometime.
Oh, nice. There you
and
go.
Maybe get some That'd of their cool. thoughts. Would you guys be interested in that? I don't know. Like, you can give me some indie developers you would like me to contact for certain games. I can't guarantee they'll want to come on.
Right.
But there might be, you know, even some smaller time ones that are just kind of scraping by. Maybe they want to come on and get some thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, the best way to get the thoughts is let's get inside the people actually doing this and what they're thinking
about. Right. And why did you choose this start? Maybe they think that this is the best way to get their story across.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the best vision that they can think of.
I don't know. I think I'm going to throw this out to our viewers first. Let me know if there's any studio or any person, you know, if it's the one person studio you would like us to reach out to and see if maybe they want to come on just to talk. It might not even be a podcast. It'll all depend on timing and, you know, maybe it'll just be an interview or something, or a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be interesting. Mm-hmm. You guys, let me know what you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So our next topic, we talked about Mega Man 11 earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mega Man. That's Parental Floss. But
it's the blue Mega Man. Oh, Lord.
Oh, baby. Anyways, so the developer, or I shouldn't say the developer, the director of the new Mega Man 11 game was in an interview recently talking about a lot of things, and including that he wants Mega Man 11 to be the benchmark for all future Mega Man titles for the next 10 years.
Ooh,
so apparently there's a 10-year plan.
That's some.
And Mega Man 11 is the new benchmark for him.
That's some hefty expectations.
Yeah. It says Mega Man 11's existence is the result of a volume of voices from gamers.
Interesting.
Basically, Mega Man 11 is here because gamers said we need more Mega Man.
There you go.
I mean, maybe it's because Mighty No. 9 came out and bombed, and so now they're capitalizing on how bad Mighty No. 9 was to be like, oh, that guy thought he was Mega Man. Turns out we thought he was Mega Man too, and he sucked.
Don't worry, so, it can't be as bad as this game over here.
They can't say that. Maybe they will say that. I don't know. At some point. Anyways, he went on to say, you know, the Mega Man Legacy Collection was very well received and got good feedback from fans. For those who don't know, all of the old Mega Man games are available on Switch now.
Nice.
Everything from 1 all the way through all the X games.
Nice.
This feedback from fans on those collections was very important and helped fuel the creation of Mega Man 11. So they were listening to how people felt about the old games. They said that Mega Man 11 can be completed without using the gear system. Hmm. So there's a gear system in there that lets you customize Mega Man a little bit. Mm-hmm. You could just not even do it.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
And then the game runs on Capcom's MT framework engine for anyone. As fans, you might not care, but you know, if you're a developer, you might be like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So first off, are you even excited for Mega Man 11?
I do like Mega Man.
Who doesn't like Mega Man?
Yeah.
Mega Man. I don't know, I like the Brentalfoss songs and the memes around it or the games more. I have no idea.
And then you got, like, I brought it before, you know, you got South Park. You know, you put them all together, you get the Ultra Mega Mega Man.
Ultra Mega Mega Man. Anyway, South Park. Love it.
Right.
See, the problem is all we can think of is pop culture references to Mega Man instead of talking about actual Mega Man. I mean, Mega Man 11 looks interesting. As for being, like, the benchmark, I think...
That's lofty goals.
Because they brought Mega Man 9 out, you know, some years ago, and that was basically their Sonic Mania. That was their revisit of the classic formula, classic art style, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, man, people love that. People bought it in droves. Let's make another one. So then they make Mega Man 10. Wasn't as successful. Because I think the novelty wore off. It'd be the same way if, like, they released another Sonic Mania. I don't think it would be as popular as the OG Sonic Mania. Mm-hmm. Because... part of what made the OG Sonic Mania so great is not only the classic art style, but the classic gameplay elements, and, like, basically, there hasn't been a good Sonic game in forever. Yeah. Here's one.
Mm.
But now we want to see what's next. Sonic Forces didn't really feel like that was the right move for what's next. So we'll see what happens
Sounds good.
So I think that's, like, the thing with Mega Man. It's like, okay, we can't just do 10 again because...
oh, why not?
People are kind of sort of like, when's Mega Man going to move forward? We're just talking about this indie. When are you going to move forward? Well, this isn't an indie studio, so when are you going to move forward?
Yeah.
And now that's what Mega Man 11 is. Yes, it's still side-scrolling. They're not leaving the roots of the series, which I think is key.
Right. That's the other thing, too, is that, you know, you start straying too far away from the roots, and then all of a sudden people start going, well, this isn't actually a Mega Man game then.
Or... it's just too different. I mean, people think that about Breath of the Wild. It's not really a Zelda game.
Yeah.
It's a open world RPG that has Zelda characters in it. That's what some people
feel. I can get that point of view.
But Mega Man 11 feels like Mega Man in so much of the style, the shooty, blah, 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 all that stuff. But like it's got a very different art style. I know some people aren't a fan of it. Some people love it. It's a hand-drawn art style. It's away from the sprites. And they got the new gear system, a new way they're handling bosses, a new way they're handling like everything, and then extra modes that we've never seen in Mega Man games before, including fighting multiple bosses at once and stuff like that, which sounds just crazy to me. Yeah. They're doing some crazy stuff with this. But here's the thing. But here's the thing. That to me is a natural evolution of a franchise. Yeah. This is what the Sonic series needs. Yeah. Look at Sonic Mania. Instead of like just running out there and making 3D Sonics, don't. Stick to what Sonic's good at, but build on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mega Man 11 is trying to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're setting a new benchmark in that we're proving you can use classic Sonic-like mechanics with brand new, fresh ideas, with new art styles, and still make it feel like a Mega Man game. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, be an example for everything moving forward. I think that's kind of what the Zelda team tried to do with Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they did it successfully. With the sales and the reviews and the praise, it's hard for them to feel otherwise, even though, again, we mentioned some people think it's too far.
There are people
that think Mega Man 11 is too far. It's just the way it's going to be. I don't think Mega Man 11 is as far as Breath of the Wild is.
And maybe there was... maybe that there's a missing link in between... of...
missing link.
Yeah.
Get it?
Of... you know, maybe they did. Some people thought it went too far. Maybe there should have been a stepping stone from, you know, that to Breath of the Wild, or from
sure
the X series to 11 here, or whatever the last.
Someone argued Skyward Sword screwed it up, so they went opposite direction.
Well, there's that as well. But I mean, maybe
what you mean, Triforce Heroes wasn't the stepping stone?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Love Triforce Heroes, but it's totally different.
Right, right. But you know what I'm saying? How maybe, you know, in some people's minds, it did go too far, and maybe they were looking for an intermediate game to kind of, if there was an intermediate game, maybe it wouldn't have been too far then.
Sure. It was the intermediate game for Mega Man then, by number 9?
Sure.
I mean, it can't be as bad as that, right? Like, I don't think it's possible. I mean, anything is possible.
Wait. Are you sure they don't want to make that the benchmark? Because it can't get any much lower than that.
Pick the worst of the worst, and you're going to be better than that.
Yeah, right? Wait.
Yep. I don't know. I'm excited for Mega Man 11. I did not pick up any of the Legacy Collection, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get my hands on that. But I played all those games. So, you know, it's one of those, I'm not in a rush. I've already bought them all. Like, when it's super, super discounted for a couple bucks, I'll pick it up. But mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not in a rush to necessarily rebuy games I've already played like that. So, I guess I look at it as Mega Man 11 is a new game, and I'm probably going to pick it up because it's Mega Man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a fair shot.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I will or not, but, you know, I like Mega Man, so I'll probably end up seeing it.
Just want Rental Floss to make a new song based on the theme from Mega Man 11. Yeah. I love Rental Floss.
Yeah.
If you're watching, man, I know you're not. I don't even know if he does videos anymore. You know, but I haven't listened to his channel for like 8 years.
Oh, well, what's been a long way time. To go.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
Well, there's plenty of things wrong with you, but
anyways.
Yeah. Is your body ready?
My body was not.
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll just kind of move on to the next. I just wanted to briefly talk about Mega Man there. Just get that shout out in there. Mention, hey, look, here's a game that isn't technically indie. It's that next step. It's not that 8-bit, 16-bit. There you go.
There you go.
Example of something.
There you go.
That's why I kind of threw it in there.
Yeah,
plus
there you
Mega
go.
Man.
Yeah.
We need any excuse to talk about more Mega Man. It's a good
Mega
excuse.
Man.
Blue Bomber, baby. All right.
Yeah, buddy.
So our next topic deals, I don't know how long we'll talk about it, because I kind of made a video on this, but I want to get Eric's thoughts on it. So
sure.
This past week, it appears Nintendo and or Game Freak, probably Game Freak, although they both co-own the copyright for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to have put a cease and desist takedown of Pokemon Essentials. So what Pokemon Essentials was is an add-on pack for RPG Maker. RPG Maker is a program that lets you make your own games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even coming to Switch. It's $25.
Mm-hmm.
So you can people can make their own adventures and blah, blah, blah. It's cool.
Nice.
Well, what Pokemon Essentials did was obviously, if it wasn't obvious, being a pack built for RPG Maker, it ripped a bunch of Pokemon assets and allowed people to basically make Pokemon games in RPG Maker. And it's been around since 2000.
Hold on. Like the actual assets themselves?
Yes. Okay. The trees, the Pokemon sprites, everything.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, it's been around since 2007, so it's not a new thing.
Okay.
It's been around for like over a decade.
Okay.
All right. So yes. There was a takedown of it. It's no longer available. Mm-hmm. Can't get it. The entire wiki it was founded on wikia.com is gone. Deleted. Doesn't exist anymore. There'll be an archive of it put up later, but obviously have all the download links broken and blah, blah, blah. You won't be able to download it officially anymore.
Yep.
It's the internet. It's been 11 years. It's out there.
Yeah.
But
right.
This is kind of the reason this has come up, because it's kind of another thing in a long list of things that Nintendo and Game Freak, either together and or separately, have taken down. We saw another Metroid remake get taken out ASMR, or was it ASMR? No, that's a different thing.
Yeah, it is.
AMR 2 or whatever, another Metroid remake 2, which was a remake of Metroid 2, get taken down by Nintendo. But then, obviously, they had Metroid Samus Returns coming out, so you could argue conflict of interest had to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fan game, and Nintendo's notoriously taking down fan games.
Yeah.
Time and time again. This isn't news.
Mm-hmm.
But this is obviously a little different in that we're not just talking about a game. Like, Pokemon Uranium was taken out by Game Freak and Nintendo. Pokemon Uranium was entirely made by Pokemon Essentials. They used that to make the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pokemon Essentials is obviously, like, it's a step even worse, you could argue, because it's the thing that's enabling people to make illegal games. And this has always been my advice to anyone who's trying to get in the game, trying to build your own game and using a tool like RPG Maker. Use legal assets and make your own thing. I'll give you one example of someone who did this right. He started off doing it wrong, but then corrected himself. And Pokemon Essentials could have did this as well. This guy made a game originally called Zelda Maker. It was obviously inspired by Mario Maker, and the idea was to make your own Zelda dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
After he released a small little prototype video, within a few months, he changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got all the attention,
mm-hmm.
which usually that's what gets you in trouble, because now Nintendo's going to find out.
Yep.
And then he's like, well, before Nintendo contacts me,
right.
We're not Zelda Maker anymore. Now this is Legend Maker, completely original assets.
Right.
All the Zelda stuff gone. So we got the attention for
it. It can be inspired
for it. And people are really, really interested in it. Now it's its own thing.
Yes.
That technically, yes, everyone knows it is Zelda Maker, but now it's not infringing on copyrights and Nintendo can't do anything about it.
Right.
So basically he capitalized on the Nintendo stuff.
Oh, you mean?
But that was just, I mean, again, you could argue, maybe it's a clever marketing tool.
I mean, kind of like JavaScript?
Yeah. Clever marketing tool.
Yeah.
To make things work. So I think that that's obviously a really great example of something to do where maybe you start off in the wrong, but you're doing it just to get some attention to your project. People aren't going to stick around unless they like it.
Mm-hmm.
Switch it up, whatever.
Right.
But that obviously wasn't the case here. This is, nope, keep making Pokemon games over and over again. Lately.
Right, right.
What are your thoughts on this?
No.
Another takedown. Like another
right, right,
takedown.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. No, were these assets like completely stripped from the game?
Ripped from the game.
Nothing changed, nothing.
No, nothing added. Just straight ripped from the game.
Yeah, that is.
It's like just taking the sprite and putting it in your game.
Yes, no, okay. That is.
But here's the counter.
Please.
This is where people are like, should they have, why are they focusing on this when you can go on your phone right now mm-hmm. and download Pokemon clone games using actual Pokemon sprites in them for being sold for money, including ones that have been out for 10 plus years that are still being updated, and you're not actually shutting down things that are on a legal to buy shop
mm-hmm.
on devices. People can go buy it right now.
Mm-hmm.
They even use Pokemon sometimes, not in the title of it. That's mm-hmm. how they circumvent it being caught in the filters.
Right.
But they use it in the game. They use Pikachu and other like mm-hmm. actual Pokemon. Just Pokemon
spell
games.
Spell it slightly they're different.
Let's just call it what it is. They're Pokemon clone games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That are literally Pokemon games.
Right.
But instead of going after those, they go after a tool that lets you make things that you can't even use on any hardware that Pokemon games are on, anyways. I think that's where people are like, you touch something that doesn't really affect sales because it's not available on devices that you sell games on.
Right, okay.
And then on the devices you do sell games now, including mobile, there are Pokemon games and you're not doing mm-hmm. anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I put out, one thing I was thinking of is if some of these Pokemon games are made in China, it's a little tough. They have a very weird legal system there. As I found out through the whole LeVar Ball son's stealing situation that President Trump basically got him off on, it was because one of LeVar Ball's sons were playing over there, stole something from a store, and like in China that could be death. Like their laws are very strict on certain things and very lax on other things and very protecting of their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So like if these games are made in China, you got to go to the Chinese courts to get them taken down. And the Chinese courts might not be so happy, especially when a Japanese company's coming in to try to tell a China company what to do.
Right.
So it's like, because China and Japan, they don't really like each other too much. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything about history. It's not just the past. It's present. It's current economics. They do not like each other. They are competitors, basically.
Yeah.
But they, you know, obviously for money reasons, China lets Nintendo products in. Well, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a working business relationship anyways.
Right.
But I think if some of these games are made there, that could be the one reason why it's like, yeah, I mean, sure, but we can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could try to contact Apple in the U.S. and tell them not to allow it on the shop, but then still they'll be like, well, you gotta claim against the company. The company's located in China. Don't want to deal with that. So they let it go. That's the only thing I could think of for some of these games that have been around forever.
But at the same point in time, Apple controls.
Some of them are actually pretty good. I've played them.
But at the same point in time, Apple controls what goes onto its own store.
Sure.
So
Apple just cares about that money, man.
I realize that.
Sweet, sweet money. If they could be like, oh, look, yeah, we could take it down, but you know what? We think you need to file the dispute with the developer first and have a true finding of copyright infringement. It's not our job to find the infringement for you.
True.
You need to claim against that company.
I get it. But once that's claimed.
I mean, you could argue Apple's allowing copyright infringement to happen, but. Yes. Yes. Again, if it's from a Chinese company, I can kind of see why Nintendo isn't. Whereas Pokemon Essential is made in the West. So.
Right.
We have very clear laws on this.
Right. Oh, no, I get it.
I think it's easier to go after. I mean, Nintendo, it wasn't too long ago Nintendo took out something else, too. ROM sites. They were going after ROM sites.
Ah. Interesting.
And now, like, all the big ROM sites don't have Nintendo stuff on it anymore.
Huh.
Or are completely shut down entirely because of a cease and desist from Nintendo.
No, or if that's the only thing he had for ROMs, it was Nintendo games, well, then, yeah.
Well, the was it Emu Paradise or whatever, they, like, their entire site was skinned after Nintendo. It was very, like,
Nintendo,
you're coming here for Nintendo.
Yeah.
We have everything, but
yeah.
You're here for Nintendo.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was nice, like, wink, wink, hint, hint. Okay, oh, they're suing me for millions. I'm done.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
We are over.
Yeah, yeah. Find me over here now.
And Nintendo's still going after that guy in court.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what scared a lot of sites, is because Nintendo's done cease and desist all the time back then.
Yeah, but it hasn't.
And now
actually
we're actually
gone
like,
after
yeah,
them.
Oh, you took down the site. That's great. We didn't give you a cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
We're suing your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yeah.
Give us millions. You're done.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get out of this. We have years and years of evidence of you stealing our stuff and distributing it. You're done.
Right.
And like, assuming Nintendo wins that case, they might not get the amount they're asking for,
right?
Or it might just come to like, yeah, it's that amount, but we'll agree it can be paid off in community service or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it will be jail time, who knows? But that's like that's when all the other sites, all the big sites, they're like,
they basically took a number two in their pants and went,
they're actually
boy.
Legally doing something that they can do, and
yeah.
You can be mad at them, you can hate them, but cannot take the risk of them coming after us next. So that, now you have this, and granted, this situation is probably more Game Freak than Nintendo, because Game Freak is even more protective than Nintendo.
Right, and I get it.
You want to know how bad it is? Last year, there was an event at PAX that was happening at a local pub that was just bringing like a Pokemon fan community together to have some drinks and eat and, you know, maybe do some like giveaway prizes and stuff. No big deal. It'd be like us at Nintendo Prime having a little gathering and stuff or whatever. Game Freak found out about it. It was had Pokemon in the title of the event. Shut that event down.
Okay, that's
like a day
far.
Before it happened.
Okay, that's a little far.
People had already like made all their plans and traveled, and nope.
Yeah.
Shut the hell down. And they have been doing this event, by the way, for several years.
Yeah.
And it's just a fan event. It's like literally a celebration of Pokemon. It's like
free advertising.
To me, that would be like them going after Cerebee.net.
Yeah.
Oh, this fan site that advertises our stuff for free and keeps the fandom alive and makes everyone excited and hyped.
Yeah.
You know what?
They're not
because you actually have a Cerebee image and the name of your thing is a Pokemon name, they're done.
Yeah.
You've been running for, how long? 2-3 decades? No, you're done.
Yeah.
But the Game Freak is, like, I'm surprised fan sites can even exist. I wonder if it's Nintendo that's like, okay, look, you can do this, but don't touch fan sites.
Yeah.
They keep us alive.
Yeah, right.
If it wasn't for fan sites, people might not buy Nintendo system.
What other does Game Freak make any other games besides Pokemon?
They have. I'm not going to say. I don't remember what it is. They have made, obviously, primarily Pokemon games, Pokemon spinoffs.
That's their huge.
Yeah, that's what they're known for. But they do. Yeah. They have made, I think, two other games that were not Pokemon.
Okay.
What they are off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Well, right. No. And
but they have.
I mean, that makes sense.
It's
why
rare.
They...
It's rare that they do it, but yes.
That makes sense why they're so protective of it.
And the Pokemon Company, by the way, is not Game Freak. Pokemon Company is an overarching company that owns, like, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company jointly own the copyrights. Game Freak doesn't technically own the Pokemon copyrights. It's the Pokemon Company that was formed that owns the copyrights in conjunction with Nintendo.
Okay.
Some people said, oh, Nintendo owns 33%. No, that's 33% of Game Freak. Mm-hmm. They own 50%. Of the actual copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Of like when copyrights are filed on behalf of Pokemon, Nintendo's 50% of that.
Yeah.
So they own. Now, that doesn't mean they get 50% of the profits from something like Pokemon Go. That's not how it works.
Right.
But the point was is that they own 50% of the actual copyright. So like if they want to release a game on a mobile device, Nintendo has to say, you're okay to use that copyright. If they dispute that, then it goes to a court that has to say who has the more right to whatever. And Nintendo has basically said, no, we're okay with you using it to bring up mobile devices or whatever, or even you want to put it on PlayStation 4, fine.
Yeah.
It just can't be the mainline games.
Right.
Nintendo's stipulation has always been, put it wherever you want, but it can't be mainline. Mainline has to stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the agreement they have. It's probably written down on a contract somewhere when they agreed to it. Because Nintendo is the reason that without Nintendo, Pokemon wouldn't be here. But without the Pokemon Company, it wouldn't be here. It's kind of a combination of factors that made Pokemon become a thing. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts? This is just... It doesn't bother me they shut it down. But I'm going to bring up something to you that is weird. And again, this is why I know it has to be the Pokemon Company more than Nintendo that wanted to do this. Because there's a Zelda game maker out there called Zelda Classic that's been around since I was a little kid in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about it.
Yeah.
I know I've emailed Nintendo about it when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And they responded and said thanks.
Yeah. Nice.
Nothing happened. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about Zelda Classic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got ripped Zelda sprites. And it's even worse because it's not an add-on for RPG Maker. It's its own game thing to make games.
Nice.
And just to make Zelda games.
Nice.
So that's why I'm like, it has to be Game Freak because Nintendo's not shutting that down. Yeah. Why? I mean, I get you can argue Pokemon's bigger than Zelda. Come on now. Yes, Pokemon's bigger than Zelda, but Zelda is like one of the staples, one of the pillars of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Pokemon is more popular. We get it, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to like devalue Zelda compared to Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Come on. But that's why I'm like, it's got to be Game Freak.
Right. No, I get it.
Game Freak was, we know Game Freak was behind the shutdown of that bar event last year.
Yeah.
I can't associate with drinking.
Yeah, right.
Pokemon's for kids. Pokemon's for kids. Yeah.
Sorry.
God. I'm just imagining what people in a boardroom might be like.
Yeah, right.
Hey, these guys have this Pokemon event. Are they using our name? Yeah. Are they using a Pikachu or something on their advertisements? Yeah. Well, is it just a bunch of kids, you know, hanging out at a house or something or like a party?
Yeah.
No, it's adults at a bar. Oh, drinking with Pokemon?
Yeah.
We're going to shut that down right now. Right. Pokemon's meant for six-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
Bad messaging. Associating our brand with drinking.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, then you better come and shut me down when I'm drinking and playing Pokemon Let's Go.
Yeah, right.
Which you literally admitted was for a younger generation, and I'm 30.
Yeah, well.
So I'm going to be pounding those. Just to despite them, I'm going to look straight in the camera and just, I'm going to like, I got to find like a 1.75 and just chug half of it.
Edward Forehand.
Right in front of him. You'll just be like, this one's for you, Game Freak.
Yeah, right. Edward Forehand it. But, no, I understand why they did it.
Sure.
And I agree. They have the right to do it.
And in the case of Pokemon Essentials, I'd argue, just like Zelda Classic, it's almost one, like, I get a little bit upset when fan stuff gets shut down. But when it's the straight rip, yeah.
If they're altered and similar to,
or like hand drawn things,
right,
that look
right.
like fine,
look like it, yes, art. That are inspired by, yeah. Not the exact sprites,
like
not
Lonk.
The exact this,
like Lonk. It's a meme, but it's custom
right.
drawn,
right, right. I understand. I totally get it. What the part that gets me is that it's been around for how long? It's been going for how long?
11 years.
And so why now? What changed that? Why now?
Pokemon Go, and Pokemon being bigger than it's ever been. I mean, it's hard to say that when we grew up during the era where Pokemon was at its height during Gen 1 and Gen 2 and the Pokemon anime series, but like Pokemon anime series is still going.
Yeah.
They just did this partnership with Twitch the other day where they were live streaming for, I don't know, probably still live streaming while we're recording this, every single episode of the Pokemon anime that's ever come out, which is crazy.
Nice.
It's officially supported in partnership with Twitch.
But nice.
Now they have the Pokemon anime out on Netflix officially.
Yeah.
We have more Pokemon merchandise than ever. Pokemon Go is the biggest Pokemon thing that's ever happened in the history of Pokemon in terms
right.
of number of people using it. You have Pokemon Sun and Moon being like the most popular game since Gen 1. You have
right.
a whole bunch of stuff like culminating in where it feels like Pokemon is bigger today than it potentially has ever been
mm-hmm.
in terms of
mm-hmm.
national or mm-hmm. worldwide recognition.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's been recognized, but like even now more than ever, like somehow 20 years in, now is when it's like the biggest it's
mm-hmm.
ever been.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I think of is like now that it's like this big thing that they never thought it could be.
Right.
Primarily thanks to Go.
And you know, and part of me is wondering if they maybe didn't have a problem with it, but they started seeing more and more things pop up using the sprites, using the stuff.
There is one thing we're skirting over in all of this.
But
is it possible they're just incompetent and they didn't know it existed?
That's definitely a possibility.
Like, they shut down Pokemon Uranium, but didn't bother to look into how Pokemon Uranium was made.
Made.
I could totally see that being a thing.
We've
been a cease and desist to the makers. Didn't even bother to see how they made the thing.
Right, right. But
because the RPG Maker stuff would have been instantly noticed.
Oh, right.
If you just glanced
at
the code.
For sure. But they're starting to see more and more stuff pop up to try to franchise on the Pokemon name.
Sure.
And so maybe they didn't have a problem with this, but they all of a sudden, you know, they have more problems with the stuff over, because, you know, you said that it doesn't compete directly with any of the system that it's on. So they may not have a problem with this over here, but they have a problem with everything else over here. And then everybody over here is going, but what about this? Why is this okay? Why is this not? What, you know? And finally, they just said, you know what? We're going to get rid of this. Yeah. So they don't have a
backbone. Now, someone's gonna backbone bring, someone to out there is going to bring up how, in the United States specifically, you are legally required to protect your copyright or you can lose it. So if something, if you become aware of something infringing on your copyright, you must file a cease and desist or something. You must try to do some sort of action to make it show you're protecting your IP or you lose your IP rights. And that's why I wonder if, in this case, even if someone knew about Pokemon Essentials, if it was one of those things that we know about it, but the people that legally would make us need to do something about it, don't. So we're just going to leave it be until somebody does, and then it's like, hey, guys.
By the way,
this guy's copyright infringing you.
Well, and that's what I was saying.
And so it would be like, but again, that would either be, it's either willful ignorance, trying to pretend we don't know about it to let it exist.
Or
it's just complete ignorance that they really did not know.
Right.
Like Zelda Classic's still around. I keep talking about it. Does Nintendo actually know it exists?
Yeah.
Are they even aware? Yeah. Because here's the thing. A lot of you guys out there might not even be aware that Zelda Classic was a thing until I taught. I had people say, I didn't know Zelda Classic was a thing. You said something about it. Zelda fan games admittedly do not blow up like a Pokemon Uranium does. They just don't. They don't get that kind of attention. It's very, I think to me, as obvious as it is to me, I'm not someone who works at Treehouse. And a lot of the employees from Nintendo Treehouse didn't necessarily come from a community like me.
Right.
So they might not be aware of it either.
Right.
Or they are, and they're just like, they're, I'm not going to tell anyone that I know. Like, I was playing games of Zelda Classic back when I was a kid.
Right.
I ain't going to tell anyone I work with I was doing that.
Right.
But if they don't, it's not their job.
If they don't know that I know,
they have to prove
that I knew that this is willfully left out.
But also one of those things, if you're hired for like Treehouse, it's probably not part of your contract that you need to go talk to the legal team about
anything that you found a while.
Have you ever played a game on an emulator? No. Yeah. We'll find out when you were 12.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We found this video of you. You're fired.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
They don't dig into you like that. It's more, from what I've heard anyways, the hiring process of Nintendo, it's very thorough, but they don't really care if you've done stuff like that before. It's more so, unless you're hired specifically to seek that stuff out to shut it down,
and
they're not going to ask you about it. They're just going to let it
Right,
be.
Right.
And now you work at Nintendo, so you, what are you doing?
Do we know
You don't get stuff for free, but what are you doing?
This is for sure the first thing that they've done to this, the Pokemon
Essentials?
Yeah, Essentials. Is this the first, like, any sort of action they've taken against
it? Yeah, they've never
done
anything about it. They've taken out games made by it, but they've never gone after the tool set.
Okay. So maybe they, and also maybe it was one of those things that maybe they thought that just going after the games for it was enough to protect your IP.
Let me put it this way.
Copyright, sorry.
This is why I'm going to argue maybe they were just blissfully ignorant. You see a fan game come out. You're like, that's not good. It's getting traction. All right, better.
And I understand.
Go to the website, figure out who made it, send them a cease and desist.
I can understand
that. It's simple, right? You hear about this thing, you check it out. Ooh, yeah, that's bad. Let's send a cease and desist. And they just leave it at that. They don't bother to look into how the game was made. They just say, we found the game, shut it down.
Yeah, right.
Oh, another one pops up. Oh, we found that, shut it down. But these games kind of look the same, using the same assets. Something's a little fishy.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I'm going to fully admit right now, I didn't know what Pokemon Essentials was until they took it out. Now, I'm not saying Pokemon Essentials wasn't popular, wasn't well-known. Of course, within the Pokemon community, especially the fan game community, they knew.
Right.
Just like there's probably people who didn't know about Zelda Classic, but I know about it because I was in the Zelda community and I knew.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the things that I could see how they might be blissfully ignorant of this stuff because they don't have a reason to like think it exists or assume it exists until someone literally points out to them, by the way, these games are being made by that. Someone ripped everything.
And that's what I'm saying. That might have happened where they don't know about this, and these people over here all know about this.
I know,
but and then go pointing when Game Freak comes after them. Like, hey, why isn't this shut down?
Funny when people complain, oh, Nintendo's suing ROM sites. Like, what the hell, man? They never do anything. Like Nintendo has been doing cease and desist on ROM sites for decades. Mm-hmm. This is not new.
Yeah.
What is suing?
Yes.
And you know why they're doing it? Because the cease and desist letters haven't stopped ROM distribution. Right. You know what's going to stop ROM distribution? When everyone who's thinking about doing it could get sued for millions.
Yes.
And that's unless it's like Microsoft that wants to challenge Nintendo on it.
Yeah.
And guess what? Microsoft would still lose because it's still illegal. Right. They could just afford to take the L.
Right. Right. Yeah. So,
or they would just be like, oh, right, you're coming after us. We just bought your whole company.
Yeah, right.
We just bought all your shares and you don't even know about it. Sure, your corporate heads got to keep their shares, but we have a majority stake now.
Don't worry.
So we can't sue ourselves. Yeah.
Don't worry. Microsoft just bought Nintendo. Wait, what? Sure, why not?
Yeah, it would be expensive, but Microsoft could afford it.
Yeah.
So could Apple, so could Google.
God, right.
I don't want to think about being bought. Again, it would require shareholders wanting to sell.
Right.
And a lot of shareholders are very loyal.
Fanboyism?
Not just fanboy. Like, very like a lot of the biggest shareholders are like, it's been in the family for decades.
Right.
Like, before they were even a video game company. We're not giving Nintendo away.
No, for sure.
It's not happening.
For sure.
Doesn't mean you can't buy Nintendo shares. Doesn't mean you can't buy a lot of Nintendo shares. But, you know, it's kind of like when Vivendi tried to take over Ubisoft. There's that point where Nintendo takes notice, like, oh, they're buying out a lot of shares. All right, we got to get the royal families together here and take care of this quick. Make sure we control 51%
before
they control 51%.
Right. The loyals. Make sure that they're
Hey, remember those dividends you want so bad?
Yeah, right.
All right. Yep. Every shareholder meeting when we come ahead, we give 100% profits to you if you do not sell out to Microsoft.
Right.
Until Microsoft backs off. Then, thanks.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for all the profits we're putting back in our bank for billions. I just wanted to briefly touch on our last topic.
Okay.
Switch OS.
Yes.
We know, obviously, the Nintendo Switch Online is coming out. Again, we've talked about it several times already today.
Yep.
But according to hackers, hacking communities is whatever you think about it, good or bad, they are noticing something on the back end that seems to be the Switch is being prepped to have the next major update. We're not talking like 5.1 point whatever. We're talking about a new version of the OS, 6.0.0. Mm-hmm. Obvious to anyone out there, there was probably going to be a major Switch OS coming up before the release of Nintendo Switch Online because the current OS does not have all the features implemented. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there needs a new OS to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a surprise. We're a month out. Of course, they're prepping to release one.
Mm-hmm.
And this also comes from some of the hackers that have contacts inside of the Nintendo development community, independent developers, I believe, who have said they actually already have the software on the development side. Because, well, I guess it makes sense. It's coming out in a month. You got to make sure it runs on the new stuff, et cetera, if you need to release patches or whatever the case may be. Or if you want to take advantage of the Nintendo Switch Online service.
You need other features that they may have added.
Access to the back-end tool sets for this version to see what... Anyways,
yes.
Point is it's coming.
Right.
And it's coming soon.
Right.
I want to focus on what features you want to see added. And I did a video on this. I called it... when I reported on this, I said, let's talk about what features we want to be added. That won't be added.
Nice.
So when you look at the Switch from an operating system level, from the eShop to the news to whatever, what the hell do you want added to this thing that should be there for Nintendo Switch Online service, should be there in the next major update, but we all know for all intents and purposes it ain't happening because this is Nintendo. Pretty much any idea anyone has, by the way, fits into this category.
Yeah, right.
But spit some truth at me.
More apps, like just actual apps, not games.
So like Netflix?
Yeah. It's like Netflix, everything like that. Just internet, browser.
Whoa, there we go.
I mean, what?
It's there, but it's kind of broken because it's not made for the general public consumption. Why don't you just fix it up?
Yeah. I mean,
achievements,
more apps. Yeah.
More apps.
Achievements.
More useful apps.
Yeah. Right.
Fine. You won't give us a browser. Can you give us the Google search app?
Can Chrome? Can Chrome just come in then?
Google Play Store. I don't even know. It's a gaming device first and foremost, and I understand that approach. But guys, it's a tablet.
We've also been
Let people have some conveniences.
You already have Hulu.
Let people have some conveniences in life. It's okay.
I mean, unless Hulu's paying you a ton of money to keep Netflix off.
I need to get a hold of Reggie and be like, why is there no, like, DirecTV Now? I know it's not as popular. I don't care. Yeah. I have DirecTV Now. Why is it not on my Switch?
Right. No, I mean,
partner with AT&T.
Unless Hulu's paying you a ton of money to keep Netflix off, and my lord, would they probably have to pay a ton of money to do it.
Considering it's not owned by Disney.
Huh?
Disney, because yeah, it was right. primarily owned by Fox, and now Fox is owned by Disney.
I know.
Ergo, Disney now
right.
Hulu.
Right.
Or, I don't know if the full transfer's been done yet.
I'm not saying that they don't have the money to do it.
A lot of hoops.
I'm just saying that's got to be a lot of money.
Sure. I just don't.
But I
doubt it. I doubt that's why, because Reggie said talk to Netflix.
And Netflix
on why Netflix say talk to Nintendo, which means to me, again, we talked about this before. There's
contract,
a dispute. There's a contract dispute
somewhere in there.
Over something.
Yeah.
Maybe Nintendo wants to be put behind the online service, and Netflix is like, hell no.
Yeah, we have our
own
service.
We're not behind a service on anything else. Xbox tried that; it was a failure. No.
Because people are already paying for our service.
And they already pay for internet. No. Yes. No, but it's on our device.
We get it.
Netflix is on the 3DS.
Yeah.
What? If you can get it on 3DS, why isn't on a Switch?
Hot.
Anyways.
Right.
It's on the Wii. It's still like the most...
It's the most popular thing downloaded on the Wii.
A chunk of Netflix. Like, it's like 12% of Netflix users still watching on Wii. Not even an HD. It's crazy.
That's hilarious.
That's like all Wiis are used for anymore these days. Netflix boxes.
That's hilarious.
Netflix boxes.
That is fantastic.
Probably
I like
porn still too. They're probably still watching that 480p porn.
Maybe that's why they aren't putting it on the... maybe that's why they're not putting some internet browsers on this.
Oh, they're worried about the porn. People are going to do what they do. You can't stop that.
I know.
I mean, come on. I can still access the browser and watch it if I really want. I'm just telling you, you're not going to stop me. I'm not going to do it because I just use my phone.
And then you break your system because you went to the wrong site.
What else do you want to see added that probably won't get added because it's Nintendo?
Well, I mean, you did make a good point with the achievements. That is a good thing.
Doesn't matter to me. I don't care about achievements, but a lot of people do. So
I know. I mean, achievements are fun. It gives you something to work for.
Yeah, I don't mind them.
If they're not there,
the stupid achievement.
It doesn't bother me.
The games that exist just for you to achievement hunt,
right?
Or like to bump up the gamers. I hate those.
Yeah,
there's a lot of those on PlayStation 4.
No, right for sure.
Now. It's bad.
I like the stupid achievements, like you know this the ones that are completely punny and awesome. I like the stupid ones.
You're like, you know, 300 moons in an Odyssey. You collected your first moon through ground pound.
Yeah.
Why is that an achievement?
Yeah, right.
That's not even a difficult thing. I just was an idiot and didn't realize I could ground pound to get them.
Yeah, right.
Even though it's glowing and splashy and telling me it's there. I was just an idiot.
Yeah.
That's an achievement. I can understand your first one and your last one. And then any one that would take like expert level platforming to get. But not the common. Oh my gosh! You collected the moon that was bouncing underneath the bridge by jumping off the bridge and collecting the moon.
Fantastic
achievement!
Achievement unlocked.
You've taken your first step. Achievement.
You've collected 5 achievements. Achievement.
You hit the Y button for your first time. Achievement. There are games that are like that.
I know.
On PlayStation 4, there are because people like bragging about their trophy scores.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at my trophy score, how high it is.
Then
you get
games
that have like 10,000 achievements in it.
Yeah.
And it's literally any action you do in the game
for the
is
first
an achievement.
Time is an achievement. Nice.
Not even for the first time.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you did it 3 times in a row. Achievement.
Nice.
Congratulations, you beat level 1. Here's 10,000 trophy points. Achievement.
I have a fantastic idea for a game.
Oh my God. Achievement whore?
Achievement, the game.
Just call, I'm telling you, Achievement Whore. Yeah. I'm making an indie game called Achievement Whore.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just going to sell it for $1.
Let's do it.
And it's a 10-minute game, but you get like 100,000 Xbox and... Xbox gamer score.
Yeah.
And whatever. Just beef it up.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes.
Duh.
And you know what? We'll make it a challenge. Yeah. It is possible to get 1 million in the game.
Oh.
But.
You have to do
it. Requires some rapid firing in the game as a timer that only lasts for 10 minutes. Who can get the most amount of achievements pulled off in 10 minutes?
Oh,
snap. Now it's a challenge. See, that's.
Well.
That, for $1.
There goes our idea. I mean, somebody out there is already making it.
Yep.
This hasn't even come out, and somebody's already made it.
Someone's probably already done it, to be honest. Yeah. I wouldn't know. I don't care
for
about achievements.
Right, right.
I think the cool achievements that make you try things you wouldn't normally try, I like.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's also that negative side, as we talked about. I don't think that's the norm in some games, but there are a lot of really dumb, stupid achievements. Even in, like, big AAA games, you're like, really, that was an achievement? Mm-hmm. You fired a gun for the first time.
Yeah, no.
It's a shooting game. It's a first-person shooting game.
That's what I'm supposed to do. Congratulations.
You should give me an achievement for killing people the entire time without ever shooting. Yeah. That's an achievement.
You should give me an achievement for shooting three guys with one bullet.
You should give me an achievement for getting 10-plus kills in a Call of Duty match all pistol whips.
I'm sure they do.
Win the match, 10-plus kills, all pistol whips. That's an achievement. That's a challenge.
I'm pretty sure they probably do.
That's a challenge. Getting a kill by shooting a gun. Even first kill. We're shooting a gun. But I get it. First kill achievement. But why?
I get first kill achievement.
You are playing this game to kill.
I know. No, I get it. I don't know. Yeah.
Achievements
can be fun. I like some good ones.
There's some really good achievements.
I like the pop culture achievements. Oh, yeah. That's the ones that I like. Because they're fun.
All right. Any other features you want? God. I can think of a big one that would be really nice to have as a YouTuber.
What, YouTube?
That goes along with what you're talking about.
Yeah, right, yeah. God.
How about the ability to message people?
Well, yeah, there is that.
You have literally an app on a phone, and I still can't message anyone in that app?
Yeah, there is that.
I can't message anyone locally on my Switch.
Yeah.
I can't... Okay, cool. I have a bunch of friends that I met online, and we're all playing this game together. Right. But the only way that we can communicate to play this game together is if I talk to them off of Nintendo devices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, as a YouTuber,
I could pop in my profile and send out a message to you.
I want to set up a Splatoon 2 match.
You mean kind of like...
I can't invite people to be in this group in the lobby to get ready
for
it.
You mean kind of like Xbox, where you can just pop open them... If you're logged into your account, you can just pop it open and send them an email.
You play someone random in Madden on Xbox, you can literally open up and message your last opponent.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, good game.
Yeah.
Or, hey, man, you want to friend me? Like, we'll play again sometime in the future. Yeah. Like, complete strangers. Like, that happens.
Or go die in a fire.
And I get there's the whole protect the children thing, parental control. Parental controls to turn it off. Pretty damn simple.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just like you can turn off voice chat, parental controls to turn it off.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put the liability on the parents and you're free.
Yeah.
That's how everyone else does it. It's on the parents. Yeah. We gave you the ability to turn it off. You didn't turn it off. Sucks it happened on our platform, but we gave you every ability to stop it. We warned you when you turned the system on for the first time for setup to do it.
Yeah.
That we are not responsible for any communications that happen online.
Right. Right.
If you're worried about it, here's how you turn it off.
Right.
So, I mean, that's every other company does. So, again, cop out for Nintendo to use that as an excuse. Which I'm not saying they have used it as an excuse. Right. That's the excuse Sony used.
Right. Right.
The children. Right. Parents can't do it.
But remember.
Microsoft and Nintendo can't do it.
Because remember, though.
In Minecraft.
Because remember, though.
Where Nintendo doesn't even allow voice chat anyways.
Because Nintendo.
Or messaging.
Because Nintendo's for kids, remember. So, wait. So, if Nintendo's just for kids... Shouldn't that mean that all kids are only talking to kids? So does that?
But it
really
might be
matter?
Bad kids. Those are naughty kids. We don't control what those kids say because we could totally control what the kids on our platform say.
Right.
Anyways.
Oh Lord.
All right. What else?
So to piggyback on the messaging system, just a better account system overall.
Such as? Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know if have they actually gone universal now.
Supposedly.
How about actually confirming?
They say it's universal, but it's weird because it feels like it's missing a lot of the features of a universal account.
So upgrade your
account system. Example, I don't believe, I haven't tested it. I should probably test this with your Switch. Can I log in with my account on your Switch but still be logged in on my account on my Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even a thing? That's universal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You can use them on multiple devices.
Mm-hmm.
My Apple account's used on my phone, on my computer, and on a tablet. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a universal account. You can use it on multiple devices. You can limit how many devices, but you can use it. That's the big thing with universal accounts. You can use it on multiple devices.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone doesn't agree that you can do that. Maybe you can, but I mean, I haven't tested it yet.
Yeah.
So that's something. Obviously, game access. Yes, maybe both systems can't access the game at the same time.
Yeah, right.
But fine.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I have a Switch here and a Switch there.
Yeah.
Let my kids play my games on their Switch.
Yep.
Not on mine.
Yeah. No, I am.
So, I don't know.
But
that's the bare basic for me for universal accounts. It's just that feature alone, and I'm not so sure that these accounts do that.
Right. So
now they do tie game purchases to the account, which is new, by the way. They used to tie it to the system.
Right.
Think about how crazy that is. You broke your system, all your games are gone. You have to go through Nintendo to hopefully recover.
Congratulations. You have to buy them all again.
You can go through customer service and get them recovered, some of them. But it's a pain. Like a universal account system, guess what? Your system breaks. You just log in on another system and re-download all your games. Mm-hmm. You don't need to contact Nintendo to verify things and get your account transferred to another. That's the big thing. The account transfer. Yes, you've always been able to do it in person. You have a new system, transfer your account over to it. That's fine. But universal account systems don't need a middleman. No. You lose your system. You sell your system to GameStop and you forgot to transfer your account. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They wipe the system. You just log in on a new system and say, this is my primary system, and download all your games.
Yep.
You don't need a middleman, but in the past you needed a middleman. Do you need a middleman now? I honestly don't know. Yeah. That hasn't happened to me yet.
Well, because if I'll
find out when Switch Pro comes.
If they haven't that would be another nice feature. Like an actual...
Yeah.
Like a... full-fledged.
Someone out there let me know, by the way. I don't have multiple Switches to test this stuff with.
Right, A full-fledged, massive, like, in-depth account system.
Oh, man.
But, I don't know.
I mean, a lot of people want themes. Yeah. 3DS has them. I don't really care about themes, to be honest.
Sure, if they want
to
bring them.
It's neat to have. I just don't care.
Right. If here's they want to bring them,
I agree with Nintendo's principle on this. Yeah. They designed the OS to be as minimalistic as possible so you can go from hitting that power button to playing the game ASAP.
Right.
So the idea is it's cool to have a theme, but should you really be staring at the theme? The whole reason you turn the system on was to load a game.
How long are you really going to be sitting in the themed
games.
Area?
Speaking of games.
Yes.
Custom way to order them. I don't know if you're aware of this, because you probably don't own enough games yet on your Switch. But the order your games appear in the menu on your Switch is based on your most recently played.
Got it, yes.
So it'd be nice to organize it by multiple ways. So leave that as the default, but offer the option to like a drop-down list that says organized by most recently purchased, organized by alphabetical, organized
most
by
played.
Genre, organized
most
whatever.
Played.
Custom manual organization, mm-hmm. so you can put mm-hmm. whatever games you want always on your main menu.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing here is because some people, what happens is some people,
first page
they buy 30,
this.
40 games, and they forget about some games they bought because they just haven't played them in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're another thing, ability to make it so the all games
list,
the all games list is your default home menu.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a favorites list or something.
Yeah.
Like
something like that.
Yeah.
You know, most played.
Yeah.
You give them a most played list.
Yep.
Just multiple ways to organize and sort.
Yeah, no, no.
Folders.
Yeah. Well, that would be probably a part of the account system.
Folders?
No, like...
custom organizing the order of your games? You have to pay to do that?
No. Like, you know, you're...
you said part... I was like, what are you talking about? That I don't want to pay to have to organize my games. I know you don't mean that, but the way you worded it, I'm like, wait a second, why am I paying to do that?
No. As in, like, your account, part of your account.
Why does that? It should be OS level. It should have nothing to do with my account.
Where if I transfer systems, if I transfer systems, my organization follows me.
It doesn't.
I'm not saying.
Who cares about that?
Sad.
I mean, it's convenient.
You don't have to reset it up.
We're just talking about the ability to even do it in the first place. Let's get to the bare basic, and then we'll worry about, now I'll make a transfer.
There I said, I'll give you that one.
But remember, these are all things that are obvious that ain't going to happen.
It's Nintendo.
Voice chat, get rid of the app.
We've already said they've had their head in the sand for a while sometimes.
I love Nintendo, guys. This isn't like... I know I'm having a little fun with this last topic, but it's one of those things where it's like, this is the kind of stuff that if any of this is in the works, we should already know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is, we don't know about it. We don't even know how the NES online games work. That's the big thing in the online system we don't really know.
That's their seller.
We don't know how the voice chat's going to work. Are they ever going to... acknowledge that the voice chat between Splatoon 2 and the app is terrible. Not the actual quality of it or whatever, but the act of just getting into voice chat is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Going from one device to the other, back to the other, back to the other, back to the other, and finally getting it all confirmed, and now you're all in. One person DC'd, the whole group falls apart. Like, admit that is terrible.
Fantastic.
You beta tested it. It's terrible. Tell me how you're making it better. Justify to me finally why this phone app is better than me just turning on Discord.
Yeah. Right.
Justify it to me.
Right.
Oh. What more companion app features are there going to be? Are you going to add more games that are not NES games? Great, you're bringing NES games. What about ARMS?
What makes
what it, about Mario Kart?
What about
Smash?
But what makes it better than Discord? It's Nintendo. It's Nintendo's brand.
You got the bouncing heads.
It's Nintendo's brand. You know, that's automatically makes it better than Discord. You know, it's Nintendo. You're a Nintendo fanboy,
sure,
right?
Sure. All right. Anyways, I think that's going to do it for the podcast. As I said, I love Nintendo, but yeah, they're not perfect. They make mistakes. For anyone out there who calls me a Nintendo fanboy, there's a whole segment right there where it's like, there's been plenty of criticism thrown this podcast. Like, mm-hmm, there are things that I don't think Nintendo's doing well or doing right. And it's okay to be critical. It doesn't change how much I love Switch, how much I'm looking forward to Smash, how much, right, I'm looking forward to Pokemon, how, yeah, much, right, I can't wait to figure out where the hell my Switch even is since it's not in the dock.
I was going to say, I have
Damn
an idea of where Aiden. It is.
I'm going to have to check. It's past midnight. He's probably up there playing in his room.
Oh,
I'm gonna be like,
probably.
I know he's not playing Mario Odyssey because I had to sell my physical games. More on that in another podcast. All right, folks.
Fantastic.
I am Nathaniel Ruffle-Jantz. You can find me on Twitter at Ninty Prime or at Nate Jantz. Nate Jantz, I get a little personal at times. Ninty Prime, I get a little personal at times.
I was going to say, you throw out some Buck stuff recently.
Oh, I don't care about that. That's not what I mean by personal. That's just my fandom. Yeah. You can follow Eric Moore on Twitter where?
At emo8790.
And if you would like to get a future episode of the podcast early, you can head over to patreon.com/Nintendo Prime. For as little as $5 a month, you can get the audio podcast a day early on Sundays, whereas the rest of the world gets them on Mondays. You can also do $10 a month,
yes,
and you can actually watch the video version as it's recorded live on Thursday nights, and that's even way earlier than the Sundays. You're paying for even earlier access, and you're getting the video feed. Hi, video feed people.
Hi.
Edward Norton, yeah, and Mark and whoever else might be watching.
Yeah.
We have a few of them.
Yeah.
For $20 a month, you can actually be on a podcast.
Whoa.
You spend $20, you get invited to be on any one. It doesn't matter. Unless there's a specific plan for one where we have a bunch of special guests. As an example, if you have the indie devs on or something like that, that would be a specialized podcast where we probably won't necessarily bring a fan into
or
it because
cast.
We don't know how a fan might react in certain situations versus, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, if they react crazy around us, it's just us.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know, got to represent the brand.
Right.
But outside of special podcasts like that, which happen very rarely, you will have an opportunity to be on any of the podcasts that are recorded that month. So if a Thursday lands on the last day of the month, that technically would count, mm-hmm, even though the podcast won't go up to the next month. So yes, you can become a $20 backer as well and get access to that. We have some $20 backers. None of them have been on in months. They're invited every month. They get the post. Huh. They get told about it.
Mark was on recently.
On the podcast?
Wasn't he?
No, he hasn't been on since like January.
Oh, wow.
The most recent one, Be Righteous maybe? You know how long ago that one was?
Smashcast?
Smashcast? Was he on the Smashcast?
No, I don't know.
Smashcast was Player Essence,
no, I know.
Darren, and She Says. Yeah, so that wasn't... That
but
wasn't
no, was that the last one that we've had?
Two Holmes
yeah.
was on.
Yeah, I know.
Former EA developer, yeah, works at Blizzard now.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the thing is that he wasn't even on as a developer guest. He's just he's a supporter of Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's how you guys can become a part of the crew here. You know, you might say, is there a way I could pay to be on every episode? Unfortunately, no. But you know what? If you're just one of those cool cats out there.
Well.
Let me tell you. We have that $100 tier. And for some reason, you do that $100 tier. And instead, like, here's the thing. The $100 tier is an advertising tier on Patreon, right? So it's a way for you to put ads in the front of, in the middle of the podcast, and other videos we do as well. We've actually had one person do that one time. It ended up not working out as well for them as they hoped. It was for Lyft, which is a very difficult thing to try to sell. It's got to be in your local area. It's not, mm-hmm, like a product you go online and buy.
Mm-hmm.
So different situations. But I could argue, or you could argue, because you know me. I like to get technical at times and get around the technicality excuses. At the $100 tier, does not say that you cannot advertise your own product during our videos. Ergo, you could argue that you need to be on every episode of the podcast to advertise your own products for that month. Ergo, you just paid to be on every episode of the product, even if all your advertising is yourself.
Yeah.
So there is a way. But, I mean, no one's... And I mean, we don't have people taking advantage of the $20.
And now that we've pointed that out, it's now closed.
And now it's limited to one per year.
No. It's you get the five. You can be on the podcast for like a minute to advertise your product.
Advertise your product.
There you go.
Yeah. Again, you advertised. Oh, hey, and we have this person joining us. What are you advertising today?
Yep.
Just myself. Why don't you go follow me? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all hey! I'm happy
today.
Bye.
You've been booted.
No.
All right,
no,
folks. No. It's okay. But anyways, that's all the different ways you can support us. You can also just support in general what we do at Nintendo Prime for $1 a month on Patreon. You can become a member. It's called Members now. If you guys remember what sponsors were on YouTube, it's now called Members. Same deal, just a different name.
Sure.
Don't know why they changed it, but whatever. You can become a member.
Why not?
You can also support us over on Twitch at twitch.tv/NintendoPrimeTV. Over there, they actually call it subscribing, and you can do Twitch Prime sub, which costs you nothing if you're already subscribed to Amazon Prime. Otherwise, they have like otherwise it's like $5, and they have a $25 tier and all stuff, and you get access to emojis during live streams. And none of you guys might care about that, but it does give you a little bit of a different perk than Patreon does, because becoming a patron doesn't give you emojis in live streams. I wish I could make that thing, but it doesn't. Like this, they don't work like YouTube and Twitch and like Patreon don't work like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They're separate platforms. Well, so
the only thing is,
or just support us at all.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
For as little as $5, $5, and $1.
If you want
a super chat,
if you want to emoji this person right here. Because
every single emoji is Eric except the one with like the shot glass and the standard bomb.
Yeah.
There's tingle Eric. There's dabbing Eric.
Yes.
There's balloon face Eric now.
What? I don't think I've seen that one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Ever since we started doing little balloon stuff.
Oh, boy.
There's balloon face Eric now. It's balloon time.
Fantastic.
All right, folks. You can catch us as well on iTunes. And at Podbean, I don't know. Remember, one of these days I'll remember the actual Podbean URL. It's down in the description if you're watching this after the live versions.
Or
on Google Play as well, by the way.
Oh, no. Or you guys know that. They could go to NintendoPrime.net.
/podcast.
Or just go to Nintendo Prime right now, because that's basically the only thing that's been on there.
We need to actually get that going again soon.
Yes, we do.
That's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Turner Prime Podcast. This is Nathaniel Ruffle-Jantz, and that's Eric Moore, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Peace out.